You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Good evening, church. Greetings from Lighthouse Ministry, from all the brothers and sisters out there. I'm super excited to be here with you guys. Blessed to be here with you guys. Let's start with a word of prayer. Cannot pray too much. Father God, thank you so much for bringing me here today. God, thank you so much that God, you gave me another day of life today. You spared all of us today, God. Thank you for that incredible blessing to be alive. God, I pray you bless the lesson tonight. Please remove me, God. Fill me with your spirit. Yes. Speak to us tonight, God. Pray for every heart that's in the room. Soften it. Open it. Prepare it, God, for what you're going to speak tonight. I love you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness, your love, and the miracles you do every day, God. Pray for this lesson in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm here to do a lesson on my book. It's called Walking on Water. These are my two youngest children, Spanish and English. Published it last year in July, and I've been on my book tour since September, been visiting, that's what I love about our church, you know, International Church of Christ, right? I've been to Ecuador, I've been to Mexico City, oh man, so many places, it's a long list, but today I'm here with you guys. It's a blessing. Thank you, Steve, CJ, for inviting me out. It's a blessing to be amongst our family here, and since my youngest children, I have six children. And six granddaughters. My kids are Ruben Jr. is 39, Melissa's 38, Chris is Andy's 33, Chris is 31, Gabriel's 26, and Gabby's 21. And so, big family. And these are my two babies right here. But title of the book is Walking on Water. And I want to read you. You may say, why the title Walking on Water, right? And it says that. You know, you guys are studying the book of John, where Jesus walks on water. We're going to talk about Jesus walking on water. And if you want to walk on water, you want to learn, the lesson's going to help you a lot today. Right? So it says here, and in John and Matthew, right, it says, why the title Walking on Water? It says, the story of Jesus walking on water in Matthew 14 has always thrilled me. All the stories and the miracles Jesus did make me wish I was there. I would have loved to have witnessed at least one of his miracles in real life. Well, God has granted me the gift of not only witnessing a miracle, but living it. I was in death's clutches. There was no hope or future. Cancer had come in and I was drowning in it. But God, through my faith in him, changed everything. He reached down and grabbed me just like Jesus did to Peter and pulled me up out of the problem I was drowning in. He has allowed me to walk on water. I am living the miracle. Every day that I wake up is a miracle. I am walking on water everywhere I go. My life is exciting. It has its challenges, but I'm loving the new life and opportunity God has given me. I'm no longer afraid of anything. He has given me the courage to take down Goliath. He has resurrected me. Even when I'm in total darkness, my faith still shines. My perspective on life has done a 180. I am really living now, living by faith, walking on water. That's in the introduction. And in the book, there's five ingredients, and it says there, for living through life's toughest challenges. And I don't know what you're going through right now, if you're going through a tough challenge. And if you haven't, I guarantee you 100% you're going to go through something difficult in your life. It's guaranteed. Because we live in a world that is really hard to be in. Right? There's disease. There's so many things that you can struggle with. But I want to prepare you tonight. So when you get there, you're going to remember this lesson. Amen? And we're going to talk a couple of things. One of the things is life is short.
Right.
I don't know if you know that or not. But life is, I'm 58 years old. The 58 years have passed in the blink of an eye. Right? Life is very short. And Psalm 90:10 says, 70 years are given to us. Start my timer here. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. If you're in your mid to late 60s, you may be worried. I'm 58, and I have stage 4 terminal cancer, so that worries me. I'm like, man, that could be 12 years or less. And people live longer. My grandmother lived to 94, my great-grandma 93, so people live longer. But the Bible says 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80, right? Some people even go to 80. But even the best years, right? I'm in my 50s, I feel like these are my best years. But they're filled with pain and trouble. But soon they disappear. Pain and trouble is going to be, it's a temporary thing. It says soon they disappear and we fly away. Right? Life is short. If it's 70 years, man, life is really short. My dad died of terminal cancer at 67. Became a disciple at 65. The next year he found out he had stage 4 terminal cancer. Did chemo for a year and died. I found out 6 years ago that I had stage 4 terminal cancer. I'm still here. Why? I don't know. But I know God has spared my life. Because a lot of people die of cancer. So remember, life is short. It's one thing we're going to talk about. Ever know Steve Jobs?
Yeah.
He died of cancer at 55 years old. Young. He tried to do the natural way of curing cancer. It didn't work. By the time he was overwhelmed with cancer, he tried to do chemo and stuff. It was too late. He died quickly. And he said, if he told you some word of advice, would you listen? Yeah, we'd listen. This is what he wrote. If you approach every day like it's your last, you will be grateful for the next day. I don't know how you woke up today. If you woke up, yeah, I'm alive. Or you woke up, man, I'm going through this right now. My kids, my spouse, I don't have a boyfriend, girlfriend, my job. We usually, most of us wake up like that. Ungrateful. We have to change our mentality. Because today could be your last day. If I told you midnight today, you're going to heaven, how would you leave these next 4 or 5 hours? Would you be going through your problems, worrying? No way. You need to be happy. We got to enjoy every day like it's our last. Because you just never know. You don't. We've got to enjoy our lives. But it's lack of gratitude. Let's begin to be grateful for the life God has given us. When I wake up in the morning, open my eyes, it's my birthday every day. I'm like, yeah, one more day. My wife and kids, they stopped being the enemy a long time ago. What do you do that to me for? Talk back to me. Oh my God. I used to struggle with those things. Now it's just, I just love them. No matter what they do, I just love them. They are no longer the enemy because life is short for me, or it could be one of them.
Right.
I don't have time to be arguing and being divided. We need to focus on being grateful for everyone around us, especially our families. Let's be grateful. Exodus 9:16. I love this scripture. If you get a book, I already put it inside. It says, but I have spared you, right? He spared me, and I'll tell you why he spared me. But he spared you today, too. Why are you alive today? Because God spared you. He spared your life for a purpose, to show you my power. I've seen God's power. God is powerful. And to spread my fame throughout the earth. That's why I'm here today. I'm here to spread God's fame at the Westside Church. And I'll go to another church in 2 weeks. Another one in 3 weeks. I'll be in Mexicali on June 2nd. I'll be June 9th at the church out of Redondo Beach with Reb Butler. South Bay. I think the South Bay Church. And just going. I was in Ecuador last year. I'm just spreading God's fame. Because God has spared me. But you got to see your life. You got to be grateful that God spared you today. And if you wake up tomorrow, God spared you again. Get excited about that. Be happy. Celebrate. Make it be your birthday tomorrow. Let it be on your birthday. Enjoy it. So we're going to talk about life is short, and I want to introduce you. You know who God is. You know who God is, but God is powerful. We forget sometimes how powerful God is. Ephesians 1:19-20 says, I also pray that you, right, you and me, will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. See, we know God is powerful, but here it tells us twice the incredible greatness of God's power. It's power. It's incredibly great. It's not just power. And then it repeats it. This is the same mighty power, right? It's mighty power. Resurrected Jesus from the dead. If he could resurrect a dead person, what can he do with your problem? What can he do? A lot of times we make God small and our problem huge. No, God can't deal with this. God can't do anything with this problem. Remember, God is powerful for us who believe him. Amen? First ingredient, the fear of God. We normally think fear is to be afraid. God's going to punish me. But no, it's not that type of fear. There's two types of fear, servile fear and filial fear. Servile fear suggests the behavior of one in forced servitude, such as a servant or a slave. In other words, I obey God, my boss, my master, because I'm afraid he will punish me if I'm disobedient. That type of fear, servile, distances me from God. This is not a close relationship. If you have that kind of relationship with God, that you're afraid of him, that's not a good relationship. That's not close. You're not walking with God or serving him. Filial fear is the fear a son or daughter may have towards their parents. Filial has familial origins. Filial comes from Latin filius, meaning son, and filia, daughter. In English, it applies to both genders. When we have filial fear, we obey God because we don't want to hurt our relationship. Right? I don't want to do anything that might demonstrate that I don't love him or respect him. I'll obey you, God, because I love you, especially because you love me so much. That filial fear draws me towards God. Having filial fear will have reverence for God. We understand his majesty, who he is. We understand God has unconditional love. Right? Because we'll need no conditional. With our spouses, our kids, hey, something goes wrong, I'm not talking to you. We only know conditional love. But with God, it's not like that. God is unconditional. No matter what we do, God loves us. Amen?
Amen.
Another scripture for fearing God. Psalm 112, 1 and 7. It says, praise the Lord. I don't know how joyful you are today, or if you're going through something, you're struggling, you're not joyful. If you want to be joyful, it says, how joyful are those who fear the Lord. You need to fear the Lord if you want to be joyful. And delight in obeying his commands. When you read the Bible, you'll be happy to do what God says. Because you have fear of God. You have that reverence. Right? It says they. Who's they? Those who fear God. Mary was talking earlier saying, you're going to go through something someday. They do not fear bad news. When those bad news comes, you don't be afraid. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. Right? So you're going to be confident. You won't be afraid of anything. Afraid of dying? No. Dying, go to heaven. Nothing to fear.
Come on.
Be ready when bad news comes. We'll go back to this a little bit. February 11, 2018, I was diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer. I had been in the hospital for 3 days. I had lost 50 pounds. 50 pounds lighter than I am now. Doctors came in after doing all the biopsies, CT scan with contrast, blood work, everything. Doctor came in and he said, hey, you have stage 4 terminal cancer. I'm like, what does terminal mean? I hadn't heard that term. He said, it means you're gonna die. I said, how much time do I have left? He said, a day, a week, a month, if you're lucky. What do you do with that? You give it to God, that's what you do. I decided, hey, if it's a month, like as I wake up, I'm going to enjoy the next month. I'm going to live it up. I love my wife, my kids. I'm not going to fear anything because it's time to go home. Talk about bad news. That was not my best day. That was not my best day. And then he said, my advice is get your affairs in order and prepare for your funeral and just send me home to die. Go. We have no medicine for you. You have way too much cancer. There's nothing we can do. My sister's a nurse. She said, let's get a second opinion. Let's go to City of Hope. Went to City of Hope, they basically said the same thing. They said, we have this clinical trial. You want to try it? No guarantees. Hey, it's either die or try that. Let's try it. I'm down. Started that medicine. 6 months later, the cancer started shrinking. I had a massive tumor on my left kidney, size of a soccer ball. Metastasized, both lungs full of tumors, The vena cava is the vessel that pumps the blood to the heart. It was between the lungs. It was full of cancer and half of the heart. Right side, both chambers. A lot of cancer. But it started shrinking after 6 months. And then a year and a half later, it shrunk and it stopped shrinking. The doctor said, hey, it's time to do surgery. If you don't do it now, the cancer will start growing again and you may not have this window again. They said, you need to do it. So those were like really, really bad news, right? Probably, it's not the worst news you can get. We'll talk a little more about that. Let's continue with fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. You know, I don't know what you do for a living. You're a doctor, you're a nurse, you're a homemaker, you're a taco man, whatever you do. If you're a doctor, you're in a hospital, you're just another doctor. If you're a nurse, just another nurse. Right? Well, you're all disciples. The true knowledge is fear of the Lord. If you're at a hospital doctor, if you have fear of the Lord, you have knowledge that those doctors may not have.
Right.
It's the true knowledge. Fear of the Lord is true knowledge. You want to know something? No fear of the Lord. That's going to put you above everyone else. In Proverbs 19:23 said it gives you security and protection. You feel insecure? Are you afraid? It says fear of the Lord will give you security and protection. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says God's purpose, imagine that God's purpose is that people should fear him. It's God's purpose. We need to have this ingredient, fear of the Lord. Ingredients 2, 3, and 4 come from Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Second ingredient, being joyful in hope. And my question is, what is your hope? And you can answer. Anybody want to answer? What is your hope? Anybody? God is your hope? Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Jesus?
Amen. Look at what 1 Peter 3:15 says. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone, like Reuben today, is asking you, ask about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. We're not ready, guys. And I see it in a lot of places. We're not ready. We don't know what our hope is. We question, there's a lot of things. But there's one specific hope we need to have. Job 11:18 says, having hope will give you courage. When the bad news comes, you're going to need a lot of courage. When you're going through a struggle, you're going to need a lot of courage. You need hope. You need to have your hope well ingrained in your mind and your heart. It says you will be protected and you will rest in safety. Right? Most people that doesn't sleep at night because you're worried, you have anxiety. Your hope, you'll be protected and rest in safety. This is really important that we know what our hope is. You know what my hope is? My hope is in eternity. That someday I'll be in heaven. That brings me a peace that nothing can buy. I'm going to give you guys some homework. Please do this. I use the YouVersion app. If you type in hope, it'll give you 10 scriptures. If you type in more, it'll give you 25 scriptures. Read the 25 scriptures. You will know what your hope is. It has a lot of things that are hope, but you'll figure out, wow, this needs to be my hope. So when someone asks you again, it says, always be ready to explain it as a believer. Please do the homework. You gotta know what your hope is, especially when struggles come. Amen?
Amen.
That's your homework. And that's all I'm gonna talk about hope, because I have my hope. Let's all have our hopes.
Amen.
Done right. Ingredient number 3, being patient in affliction. Anybody patient here? Yeah, we're not patient people. Add affliction to it. Less patient. But it says in Romans 5:3-4, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. See that? Being patient in affliction, it coincides with hope, with our hope, right? Our hope of salvation. So we need to have patience in affliction. I'm going to talk to you now a little bit about my suffering, physical suffering. Right? We're going to This is the day I went into surgery. It was June 2019. I was ready. That morning, I was leaving home. It was a scary moment because the doctor already said, hey, it's time to do surgery. You still have a lot of cancer. He said, more than likely, you're not going to make it. But you got to do something. He said, look, we're going to put you on a machine. We're going to cut your artery. We're going to put you to the machine. Sometimes the brain doesn't like it. You can have a stroke. Wow. Sometimes the heart doesn't like it. Get a heart attack. Says it's a long surgery, and there's a lot of cancer still to remove. It was a debulking surgery. They didn't touch the lungs, but they had to remove the kidney, open the vena cava, and take all the cancer out, the heart. Wow. He said, it's going to be rough. But he was saying, first, Brendan, you're dead, but try it. It's like, jeez, talk about fear. But that morning, I left my house, and as we drove away, my wife was driving to come to Pasadena, Huntington Memorial, and as we left the house, got really emotional. I started thinking, wow, am I going to come back home? Am I going to see my kids again? I really started doubting, thinking, man, I don't know. It was a long list of things that were going to happen if it went wrong, and I was leaving. And we were driving, and it's all we need to pray. Started praying. She prayed. I prayed an hour drive, and I couldn't find that peace. And I was praying, prayed some more. And I said, "Listen to some worship music." Started listening to worship music. One song, another song, and then Brian Craig's "Anchor for the Soul" came on. And man, when it talks about we're gonna be sitting around heaven's throne with all my friends. And then, oh man, it brought me so much peace that I said, wow, you know what? If I die, I'm going to heaven now. So, but it brought me a lot of peace. Fear left, faith came back. Got to the hospital, my family was there waiting, and I got in there. I'm like, yeah, let's go, I'm ready. I knew I couldn't go to surgery with fear. I said, if I go in afraid, I'm not going to make it. And I wound up having a 10-hour surgery. Our body has 12 units of blood. I lost 14 units of blood. And then after the surgery, I wound up in a coma for 3 days. I was like that 3 days. And in those 3 days, my other kidney stopped working from the trauma the body took, and it was bad. When I finally woke up, I got on dialysis. It took a few days of dialysis to get my kidney finally working again. But this was, and we just were in Mexico City a few months ago in January, February. For 3 weeks, and my wife went with me, and she got to get up and share what she felt during this time. I don't know if you can imagine 3 days waiting for your spouse to wake up from a coma. If you were ever gonna wake up, she was really afraid, like, hey, she said, God, if he wakes up, it's you. If he goes, doesn't wake up, it's still you. He's going with you. Had to just give it up to God. That's the surgery I had from the chest all the way below the belly button. That's when I woke up. I was in a lot of pain right there. Medicated, taking everything for pain. My wife was happy I was awake. Then when I left the hospital 2.5 weeks later, the trauma from the surgery, I lost my legs. I couldn't walk anymore. I wound up in a wheelchair. It took me 3 months to learn to walk again. Wheelchair, a walker. Then I walked around the house grabbing onto everything, trying to walk around. When I got home from the hospital, I hadn't took a shower in almost 3 weeks. First thing I would do was take a shower, but I couldn't walk. Wow. That was my first bath. My son carried me into the tub, sat me in the chair. I had had tubes in my neck, my arms, my abdomen, so I still had open wounds, so I couldn't get in the shower. Couldn't stand. So my son started bathing me, and I thought the rest of my life was gonna be like this. Wow. That first bath, I cried like a baby. Wow. I felt like a baby. Having somebody have to care for you, and I was crying. My son was like, it's all right, Dad. It's temporary. I told my life was gonna be like this. It was hard. We'll talk about physical suffering, and then the pain I was going through, of the narcos, and man, they gave me all kinds of medication that I hated. I had a drug pass. I didn't want to take any drugs. I was afraid. You know, we go through struggles, first thing we say is, oh my God, what have you done? We blame God. And I put here, never blame God when you're going through struggles. James 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2 to 4 says, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. And it was hard for me to have great joy when after that surgery. It was a difficult time. But consider an opportunity for great joy. John 10, 10 says, the thief, the devil's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? He wants to destroy our faith, our family. Right? He wants to kill us. He was hoping I died so I could be here today. But God's purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I got a rich and satisfying life. I may still have cancer. I do still my infusions every 4 weeks. 6 years now. But you see me, I'm walking on water. Like I put in the book. I may not have little water here, but I'm a miracle. So are you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, and this is why I know that God is not causing the cancer and all these other things I'm going to share. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. There's no hope or no future with cancer. Most people don't live very long. And my every day for me is a blessing. Because I don't know when things are going to change. Steve was asking me, hey, come in September. I said, I might not be alive in September, bro. Talking to him and CJ. I don't know if I'll be here in September. Things change fast. I've had it happen. All of a sudden, I'm in the hospital. I had an appendectomy too. I was in Mexico. I was there for a day. I was preaching a couple of churches. And then I got the appendicitis that day. I had to fly back to Mexico in emergency to have surgery. Things change. The drop of a dime. So with cancer, there's no hope. There's no future. But God says, I have plans for you to prosper. Right? Not to harm you. So I know everything that's happened to me is not from God. The devil trying to pull me away from him. To blame him. Curse him, right? Joe's wife telling him, curse God already and die. I'm not going to do that. That was my physical suffering. I'm going to get into emotional suffering. See that beautiful little girl right there? That's my oldest granddaughter, Ruby. She passed away 2.5 years ago, 11 years old, in a car accident. She died instantly. She would have been 14 right now. You know, I say you never know when things are going to happen. My wife and I, my mother-in-law, my family, we're all going to a trip to Europe. We went for a day in Paris. We were going to Italy the next day, 16 of us. But us three stopped in Paris and, you know, we spent the day there. And that evening, we did everything, Eiffel Tower, ate a bit, the works. And that evening at 12:30 at night, it was 3:30 here, my son calls, Chris, crying. Dad, I just got a call, Ruby died. Their mom lives about 5 minutes from our house, her grandparents. He said, go check and see what's going on, see if it's true. And I'm like, man, I'm in Paris. It's far away. And then so I called home. I called my younger kids, Gabriel and Gabby, and said, hey, go check and see what's going on. Chris said, Ruby died. They got down there, called me in 5 minutes. Hey, Dad, it's true. She's on the floor, laying on the floor with a blanket full of blood. She's dead. And being so far away, I don't know if you can imagine. I mean, we broke down. We were inconsolable. It was a pain I've never felt. This cancer or that, things I've gone through, is nothing compared to the pain I felt that night. And still, it's a pain deep. We cried and cried and we said, man, tomorrow, you can't stay like this. We need to pray. We prayed and we're still crying. We need to go God's word. We need some peace. I found these scriptures that night. Man. When you read the Bible, you have to believe it's the truth. 100%. 99%, not enough. Because at 1%, you doubt, they'll lose it. He says, he'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. But he's talking about heaven. Right? In the world here, it's the opposite. There's death, there's cancer, there's pain, misery, divorce. There's so much trauma. So many bad things that can happen here. But in heaven, it's the opposite. All who are victorious, in verse 7, will inherit all these blessings. I will be their God and they will be my children. Incredible. I told my wife, you know what? Ruby's with God already. Still hurt. But I say she's no longer suffering. She's good. But it brought me so much peace, brought us so much peace. We're able to, it was by the time it was like 7 in the morning, we had to take off to the airport and head to Italy. But man, we were able to get up, let's go. And got to Italy and I said, let's get a flight back. They didn't give us flight for 3 days. So I'm like, okay. And the next day was my mother-in-law's birthday. She was turning 81. I told her, you know what? Let's enjoy your mom. We got 3 days. We'll mourn when we get back home with the kids. Went to Rome, went to Florence, Venice, and flew back. I look at the picture and I'm like, I don't know how we did it. Should have been holed up in a room. But these scriptures gave us peace. Hey, nothing else can be peace but God's word. Amen. It was rough. Then we had Ruby's funeral, November 5th. This is my mom. My mom got COVID 2 weeks after the funeral. And 2 weeks after that, she had 4 strokes in 1 day and died. A month after the funeral, December 9th. Like, what is going on? And I'm already dealing with all this cancer stuff. You know, I was supposed to have died 2018. Now we're 2021, my granddaughter dies, my mom dies, so I'm saying, you never know. God spared us today. 11-year-old, 73-year-old, perfectly healthy people. Don't need cancer to die. Let's be grateful. You know, I didn't even cry at my mom's funeral. I was so numb still. I cried so much for my granddaughter. I had no tears left. It wasn't until months later, I wanted to call my mom. I was like, oh man, she's gone. She's dead. And I start feeling that pain. Going through that trauma after, you know, losing my mom. Somebody sent me this in Spanish, but I translated it. The absence of a loved one is filled by God, but the absence of God can be filled by anyone. That's what God must do. God in our lives, in our hearts. Do we still miss them? Do we have that pain? Yeah. It's not easy to lose somebody you love. But God, He can fill that. Right? It's not going to be gone away, but God can help you heal and move forward. Fourth ingredient, be faithful in prayer. Psalms 34:4 says, I prayed to the Lord and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. John 11:40 says, Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? You know, with cancer, there's all these physical problems. And, oh, man, there's so many issues. This is a financial side. During a point, I had to change from my regular insurance to Medicare. But I know that. I know you had to get Medicare before your insurance ended. Well, I lost my insurance, and I still needed to do my infusions, going for treatment. So I went in anyway, and guess what? They sent me a copayment, $8,000 the first treatment. It cost $80,000 every 4 weeks for my medicine, for my treatment. That's almost $960,000, $1 million a year. I'm a $6 million man, if you know that song. You're my age. But you know what? I got through that Bible talk because they kept calling, hey, when are you going to pay this bill? I don't know if you have $8,000 just to give to a hospital. I don't. And I'm like, man, how are we going to pay this? Start getting a little worried, like, okay. Went to Bible talk, said, hey, I got this bill. Can we pray God make it disappear? We prayed. 5 couples went around the church. You should have heard the prayers. Oh my gosh, I should have recorded that. Awesome prayers. It was May 21st. I remember the day because the next week, I got a letter dated May 20th, and it said it was from Bristol Squibb. Myers Squibb, they're the ones who make the medicine. They're giving me. And it said, hey, we have this scholarship for you, or this money, $25,000 for your co-payments. Man, I still thought, when I go to the hospital, I'm going to ask, make sure. I went to the credit lady and I said, hey, I got this letter in the mail. It says I got $25,000 for my co-payments. And she got, oh yeah, it said Bristol Myers Squibb is going to pay your co-payments. So we'll give you the $8,000 credit. You have $17,000 left. I'm like, man, give me that cash. I can use it. I need a vacation. But you know what, lady? I was like, is this good? Yeah, it's good. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, I asked her, I said, is this something the hospital did? Do you know who applied for me for this? She says, not us. We don't do those kind of things. What got me is we paid on the 21st. The letter was dated the 20th. God already took care of my problem. I just had to pray and trust that God make it disappear. We need that kind of prayer. We gotta pray like that with faith. I don't know what you're going through, but give it to God. Let go. Right, James 1:6 says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. That person should not expect anything from the Lord. Don't doubt. Pray and don't doubt. Give it to Him. And just wait. Be patient. Amen?
Amen.
This is the last ingredient. We're going to close with the next couple of scriptures. Fill ourselves with the love of God. It says, then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. He says a couple of times, he says, Christ make His home in you. And then it says in 18, may you, because you might not, have the power to understand. You might understand God's love. Remember we talk about conditional love and unconditional? You got to have power to understand how powerful that is. It's a superpower. When you learn how much God loves you, you're unstoppable.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to affect you. It's like, God loves me. Okay. That cancer, doesn't matter. God loves me. He's got a home for me.
Yeah.
Have faith. Walking on water. Right? But it says here, may you, because it's some don't understand it. And then it says 19, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. It's too much for us to understand fully. I understand it. I'm like, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm still alive. God loves me so much, but He loves you too.
That's right.
We're all His children. But if you can understand it fully, it says, that if you're complete, you will be made complete with the fullness of life. My life is full. I may have cancer, stage 4, terminal, and going through treatment. My life is full. I'm happy. Nothing can break me because God loves me fully. God's love is incredible. Even us, as human beings, I don't know about you, but how would you feel, Steve, if one of your kids didn't talk to you for a month? They just cut you off, didn't talk to you at all. How about a year? Imagine not knowing nothing. One of my sons didn't talk to me for 5 years. He just cut me off, changed his number, blocked me, moved away, and just said, stay out of my life. I want nothing to do with you. Before you judge my son, some of us do that to God. You want to hear? Don't show me the Bible. I'm good. I don't need God. I know what I'm doing. You know, time passed, and I went to look for him at his job. He was going to have a baby. Well, his girlfriend's gonna have a baby. And I wanted to be part of that. I went to his son and said, hey, son. He's like, what do you want? I'm like, hey, the baby's coming. I want to make sure you let me know when she's gonna be born so I can come to the hospital. Because you're never gonna see her ever in your life. I told you not to look for me. Stay out of my life. I don't need you. I don't want you in my life. That was painful to hear those words. He said, leave. Get out of my job. Don't come back. And I had to leave. That was so painful to hear my son tell me that. But man, it took 5 years and he finally called me. Dad? Do you think I told him, hey, what do you want? You told me not to call you. What are you calling me for? You think that was my reaction to him?
No.
Not at all. You know, before my dad died, we used to talk every day, every morning. I'd call him or he'd call me on his way to work. And every time he answered the phone, we talked every day. But he'd answer, hey, hey. He was like overjoyed when I called or to call me. And when my son called me, I was like, hey, hey. Daddy's here. I did not complain. I was so overjoyed to have my son come home. You know who was there? Stephen Carey.
I appreciate he poured their hearts out to my son and his girlfriend because I was trying to bring him to God.
I'll never forget that, bro. You guys poured your hearts out to my kids when they were in Rancho. We celebrated, you know, the story of the prodigal son. I was wondering, how did, you know, they had that big feast. Had to be more than that. My son, when he came home, people would come visit. Oh, hey, your son's back? Yeah. Get, make food, like good Mexicans, right? Celebrate. Every good celebration. For every week, for 6 months, we celebrated. Wow. As people came, because there was a lot of people praying for my son to come home. But you know how many nights while he was gone, I didn't sleep? How much I cried? I missed my son. And I'm just a man. Imagine how much God loves us. It's so much more. It's unconditional. And what I, how I treated my son is how I learned from God. That's how God treats me. And you. It's unconditional love. You still don't believe me? Romans 8:35 says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? I don't know what you've done or what you're living right now. There is nothing that can separate you from God's love. So does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or get cancer or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that what?
Nothing
can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, right? Die, go ahead. Not separate from God. In your life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, again, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You believe it? Don't ever let anything separate you from the love of God. We're the ones who walk away. I don't want that love. I'll stick with the conditional. No. Come to God. Whatever happens in your life, come to God. Let him love you. He'll get you through anything. I hope you learned something today.
Thank you.
I hope you apply these things. It's 5 ingredients. I'll be in the back with my books. I just gave you a 35-40 minute lesson. There's 5 years of wisdom in here. If you learn something, get the book. Prepare yourself. A lot of scriptures. I know most people aren't readers. Don't even read our Bible sometimes. But the scriptures in here will take you to want to read your Bible more. Because you're going to be like, man, I want to read more of this. This book will help you change your life like it changed mine. I'm just coming to teach you, hey, you can walk on water too. Love you guys.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.